Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Kreitz with another version of Fort McMurray Matters. And today I'm going to be joined by writer, director, producer, Michael Mankowski. Welcome to the show. So you got the film Back Home Again.
Yeah, man. Been working on it 5 years, so it's... Saying to finally release this thing.
Wow. Okay. Before we get to the film, Michael, I just want to know what's your connection to Fort McMurray?
I was born and raised in Fort McMurray, and prior to the wildfire, I spent 7 years running a video production company that did work for nonprofits in the old sense.
Oh, that's awesome. So what part did you live all around Fort McMurray? Do you remember your childhood much? Or?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I lived there till university and then moved away and then came back. So yeah, you know, I grew up most of my life on 143 Burrard Crescent by St. Anne's School. And my parents still lived there till just very recently. My mom retired last week, still in the community, but they did just sell their house. And yeah, it was, you know, skateboarding down the street and had a small group of friends, and a lot of my friends still work there, you know, live there and now have families of their own. So it's, and Fort McMurray supported my business for like so many years as like a filmmaker. I had done like 2 feature films, and those didn't turn into money, right? So it was just like the opportunity to come back and do corporate videos and actually like get paid as my craft. I love Fort McMurray for that, because that's all I ever wanted, was just the ability to work at my craft and pay my rent. So it was just, and I got better, honestly, like through those 7 years of working with all those companies. And like, you know, I feel like I was given opportunities that other people at my age wouldn't be given, you know, filming CEOs and all these people. And through those conversations, I get better at my job, which, you know, I think one day helped me. So when I, you know, talk to celebrities, I wasn't so nervous, or at least I knew how to handle myself, you know.
Yeah. And so like growing up in Fort McMurray, you're deeply rooted here, obviously, through your whole life. Was there anyone in the community that got you into the filmmaking, or was it just, were you like, did you love kind of like movies and TV growing up?
Growing up, I definitely spent a lot of time like running around with my friends, like with a video camera, skateboarding and stuff like that. And so I definitely had some, you know, some of my friends that were already into it. But I always dreamed of like being a professional screenwriter or a director. I never really thought it was a realistic dream, more of a hobby, as you know, my father would have told me at a young age. But yeah, you know, during university, I worked, you know, I spent most of the evenings working on my first screenplay and dreamed of that. And after university, I made my first film and eventually moved back to the community.
Awesome. So the film Back Home Again, it's an animation. What can you all tell us about it?
So the film is an animated film. It's based on my experience during the evacuation. I was evacuated and I had the opportunity to work for the Red Cross during the re-entry period, as well as the 1 year and 2 year anniversary. And I've taken some of those untold stories and I've retold them from the perspective of animals, what it was like for animals to be evacuated from the forest. So all the voices in the film are people from our community or surrounding area. And through this, I hope to focus not on where we were 5 years ago in the disaster, but where we are today and tell a story of coming back home again and rebuilding as a community.
Oh, that's really nice. And you said a couple years in the making, like, can you think back to when you first started thinking of the film? How did that come together? Like the very first thoughts and everything.
I wrote the first draft of the script in August 2016. It was a lot shorter. It was about 10 minutes. I started writing it actually as like more of a therapeutic process for myself. Like many people, I was, you know, pretty devastated with where I was after the wildfire. I felt like a lot of things were taken away from me. And through recording people who had actually gone through the fire and lost their homes, all those, you know, things I was dealing with didn't seem so significant. And it was really a healing process for me. So I just kind of started, you know, on my own. And eventually I was approached to create a documentary for children struggling with PTSD symptoms, as well as a way to use this for teachers and other people in our community to talk about mental health. And I've done so much documentary work at the time. I thought, you know, a documentary might be too heavy. So I had this opportunity. I was like, well, you know, I have these untold stories and I want to tell them from the perspective of animals. And it just kind of evolved out of that.
That's really cool. And so did you, you talk to a lot of people within the community that you knew and whatnot?
Yeah, I recorded over 200 testimonials of people who lost their homes in the wildfire and or who were evacuated, as well as, you know, I did two documentaries for Vice, and I would have done the majority, I feel like, of the community videos that you would have seen during the 2016 reentry period.
Michael, thank you so much for taking the time today. We're going to take our first break, but we'll be right back with Fort McMurray Matters.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
We're back with Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Sean, joined with Michael Mankowski, writer, director, producer, man of many hats, for the Back Home Again film. How did the cast come together? Was it you reaching out to one of them and then it snowballed, or how did it all kind of get to where it is right now? If I could just list, like, I have a list of some of them right here, like Jeremy Renner, Catherine O'Hara, you got Eugene Levy, obviously Schitt's Creek is just huge, feels like it's sweeping like awards here and there, Tom Green, Howie Mandel, Norm Macdonald, Martin Short, like the list goes on and on, Bill Burr. Was one of them first, or did it all kind of come together at once? Or
it was a slow process. The first voice was Tom Green. I had a relationship with Tom. Actually, prior to the wildfire, I was gearing up to make my first real big feature film starring Tom Green. And you know, I was at the land when we were, you know, the day we were evacuated, and that was the film that I wasn't able to make. So Tom's manager, John Schneider, who's also a film producer and done many of the Rob Schneider films. I reached out to me about a year after the wildfire, and I was already working on the project, and he's just checking in on me, you know, checking in and see how I'm doing. And I told him what I was working on, and he wished me well. And then the next day he called me back and said, you know, would you like me to reach out to Tom? And I was, you know, blown away with that, because I so desperately wanted to work with Tom, especially because the film that was just taken away. So I said, yes, I, you know, that would be incredible. And we reached out to Tom, and after that, he was like, who else would you like me to reach out to? And honestly, he used like 30 years of his relationships in Hollywood to assemble this cast, and you know, and everyone I would just dream of, you know. It was just like, I always wanted to work with Michael J. Fox. So I was like, what about Michael J. Fox? We tried that. And
even so did you throw out Michael J. Fox, or did he bring it forward?
Oh, I'm throwing out every crazy name. I'm like, you know, every single person in this cast is someone I idolized in a different way growing up. And the beauty of Fort McMurray is, like, you know, we're such a diverse community and we have voices from all around the world. So I thought there was this great opportunity to try and pick creative voices that kind of represent a little bit of people, or who could, you know, do justice to those voices. And sometimes, you know, I would reach out to like an actor on my own, like, you know, Catherine O'Hara's people for over 3 months, and we never were able to get that. But, you know, John would go to the executive producers of Schitt's Creek and get a relationship with them. And, you know, then Catherine ended up doing it in, you know, the ADR. So re-recording the audio for Schitt's Creek, she does this. And then she reads out to Eugene Levy. And like, so everyone kind of helps us, you know. I was recording with Lauren, and the night before he said, like, you know, I can get Tantoo, because I actually changed the piece. I had a different character. I wanted to do, like, one of the challenges of this is animation is so expensive. So every time I add a character, it's like, okay, do we have the ability even to, you know, the budget to animate this character? So it's great. You know, you want to take as many voices as possible, but at the same time, can you afford to finish the film? And yeah, about a day before it, Lauren had, you know, called me and was like, I have, we can bring Tantoo in the studio. So I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So I ended up changing the piece to one of the pieces, an interview that I had done before. And it just turned out better. And there's so many times of people just reaching out, or have you thought of this one, or my friend, or the cast was so incredible, you know, like Kim Basinger, she lost her home in the wildfires. Oh. So, you know, she was a big supporter of this, and the pieces are small, but you know, her couple minute interview took 3 days to record. Or, you know, Martin Short was evacuated the day, you know, we recorded in Malibu. We had to drive down with, you know, all the stuff in his car. And the studio went out, you know, the power, like everything was, everyone was, you know, a couple people removed, affected by the wildfire, either themselves or family and friends. So it was just, and also I started this, you asked when I started. So I started kind of in 2017 getting the cast. And then, you know, 2018, you get a couple more, Catherine O'Hare, Eugene Levy, and continue. And the Paradise fire, you know, created a shared experience for a lot of the cast, or, you know, so it helped me kind of get through any cast. But, you know, I think I recorded like Michael J. Fox and Kim Basinger, even in the pandemic. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, you said at the start, like, you first wrote it and it was a 10-minute film, and then now it's like, what, 30 plus, I think?
Yeah. So we're 30 minutes even.
Nice. And then so did that evolve as you got more people, like you were saying? You're just like, oh, well, if I get Eugene Levy, like, obviously I have to, like...
Well, it's a combination of both, actually, because also we're working with, you know, I had over 19 mental health professionals review the script. And through that, you know, we get feedback of, like, you know, let's lean on the diversity, or add this character, or have you had this, or, you know, so you're trying to represent the community in the best way you can. And so it kind of just evolves, and we start growing it and making it, you know, it started off just as a small piece. And then the idea was, can we follow the timeline of just, you know, quickly evacuating, but mostly talk about, like, being separated from the community and what it's like to come back. So, you know, my little idea evolved into quite a larger story for sure.
Very cool. Hey, we'll be back with Michael Mankowski right away on Fort McMurray Matters. Just going to take our last break here.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Kreitz. You're tuning into Fort McMurray Matters. I'm joined with Michael Mankowski, writer, director, producer, man of many hats, I've been calling you. Have you ever been starstruck in your film career?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like the first time I ever got a chance to meet Tom Green was just surreal to me. I go down to Los Angeles and see him on set, and I idolized Tom growing up, you know, skateboarding, and that was just a surreal experience to me. I remember being like so nervous, like getting out of the cab and I'm sweating through my t-shirt, and, you know, I go up to Josh and I'm like, oh, nice to meet you, and he's like, oh, did you run here?
Did you run?
So, and I've had so many like situations like that I've been, you know, a little bit awkward at the beginning, but I had the chance to work through some of those in some of my earlier projects. And then, you know, in this project, you know, I have incredible experiences where, you know, I'm in the studio with Gordon Pinson or Ed Asner, or I got the opportunity to go to Jeremy Renner's house and, you know, pitch him the project in person. And wow. So it was just, yeah, very. It's been a lot of experience with this movie.
That's so cool. And so with an animation film, what kind of interaction do you have with like the talent? Is it much, or do you get to like kind of go back and forth with them?
You know, for this, I definitely lean on the fact that everyone is a great actor. So, you know, I'm directing great people, so it's very easy. Mostly I give them guidance on like, this is the character that, you know, I wrote, and this is what I feel like the real person was like, and, you know, definitely give them lots of notes. But ultimately, and even so much as where all the audio actually is scratch. Originally, when you're animating, you get someone first to record all the pieces. So, like, you know, we used a studio in Vancouver that does a lot of game animation. So that way, when I'm building the storyboards, I have a rough idea of how long each scene should be. So, you know, you first have that. And every time, you know, I offer that to the actor, and they're like, don't push all that stuff. You know, it's like, I'll do it my way, right? So, you know, sometimes it would be as simple as like with Michael J. Fox, I recorded on a phone, you know, through the studio. We have a link, and similar to kind of like what we have here, just a little bit better, like more professional, I would say. You send him something to stick on his phone, and then he talks into it almost like a little microphone. And so, you know, sometimes it would be like that. sometimes, you know, I would actually be in the physical studio with the actor, or sometimes, you know, a Zoom situation as they do their live. So, or Bill Burr, just, you know, he did it just on his own, and same with Marlon Wayans in his room. So it was just, yeah, everyone was, I was open to any ideas, you know, that would make this as painless as possible for them.
So is there like a certain message you want to get out there? Like, what do you want people to take away from this film?
You know, I look at this project as a love letter to our community. Fort McMurray's been so good to me. It supported me. It, you know, I was born and raised in there. And I always struggled growing up when, you know, celebrities or the media would talk negatively about our community. And whether, you know, whether you're pro-oil or not, as a child, I found that difficult. You know, my father worked in the oil sands. And I have friends and family who, you know, today work in the oil sands. This is not a film about industry, but it's impossible to tell our story without industry as well, because they're a big part of our community, and you know, they were a huge part of the recovery process in our community. So, you know, I made an effort to highlight them in a positive way, and I really wanted to show a different side of Fort McMurray, and use this film as an opportunity to change the perception of our community, and you know, and just focus on the community aspect. I really think that our story is universal now, specifically with COVID and more people who have experienced some form of trauma or isolation. I think there's a shared experience that we can talk about. And I do recognize that, you know, there's a lot of people in our community that are also in different places right now as well, you know, because of the economy and then the wildfire, the floods, COVID, and the 5-year anniversary coming up. With, you know, some people might say I'm not ready for this, and that's okay too. But, you know, ultimately I just wanted to create this and stick this out in the world, you know, so we can start have the conversation together and create resources with the Canadian Mental Health Association that we could point people to, as well as celebrate, you know, the incredible things that our community did and went through and rebuilt together, because to me, I believe that's, you know, just something, you know, a heritage project that we can talk about for years to come.
What kind of feelings are you feeling now? You've worked on this for a while. Do you have like kind of like a feeling of accomplishment now?
Yeah, you know, I'm so excited to stick this out in the world. I've been working on this for 5 years, and honestly, it's been my entire life. I feel so proud that, you know, everyone has volunteered their time. All the actors volunteered, you know, their time for this project, and I've had so much luck along the way of people helping me out on this journey, and I'm so proud that, you know, I've been able to finish this, because there's so many times over the years that, you know, I'm worried that we can't even pull this off, or the amount of drawings is overwhelming for me. It's been a lot of ups and downs, but I'm overwhelmed and very excited to stick this out in the community and to celebrate this and watch this.
Finally, Michael, when is Back Home Again coming out? Where can people watch it?
So we are preparing for a fall release. I'm hopeful that we'll premiere at Toronto Film Festival, and we'll have an opportunity to stream the film live to our community. Still working on some of those details. But either way, you know, we're going to prepare for a fall release in the community. This film will be available for free. We're still working on the rollout, whether that will be, you know, directly with the Canadian Mental Health Association, or will we have the schools involved. But ultimately, our goal is to get as many eyes on this as possible, and to have some community events and screenings as well.
Once again, that was Michael Mankowski chatting with us about his film Back Home Again, based about the wildfires here in Fort McMurray. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have here for today on Fort McMurray Matters. But if you missed it, or if you want to hear more, you can head to our website and check it out on our podcast at mix1037fm.com. Fort McMurray Matters airs every weekday at noon. I'm Sean Kreitz. Chat with you later.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.